Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. Politicians, well, they seem to be confused on exactly what to do about the growing immigrant population in our country. Yesterday, the Senate moved to make borders tighter, but also to make citizenship for illegal immigrants easier. In the music business, more immigrants, most of them from Latin America, means one very clear thing: big money. Last year, Latin music sales were up 14%, a third straight year of double-digit growth, and this coming in a year when the music's general market was down almost 4%. Here to help us understand what is moving Latin music are Agustin Gursa, who writes about Latin music and entertainment for the Los Angeles Times. Agustin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And also joining us is Dan Storper. He is the founder and president of the record label known as Putumayo World Music. Dan, good to talk to you as well.
Great to talk to you as well, John. Thanks.
Agustin, let me begin with you. Double-digit growth, once again, 3 years running for Latin music here in America, but not a whole lot in the Billboard Top 100. What does that tell us about where this music is playing and selling?
Well, I mean, I think that it's clear that the consumers of the music are primarily the Latino population itself. The markets in Los Angeles and the West Coast, Miami, New York, which are the strong centers of immigration. Those are the ones that are keeping the market alive. And occasionally there's the cyclical crossover phenomena where some of the music becomes popular in the mainstream market, mm-hmm. But that comes and goes. But the music itself, the heart and soul of the music, keeps going within the communities that have always sustained it.
So the crossover phenomenon, I mean, we saw that a couple of years ago with Ricky Martin, Julio Iglesias, Christina Aguilera doing her Spanish language stuff.
Right.
What about Shakira, with whom we opened the show today? I mean, her song Hips Don't Lie is, you know, that's a huge crossover hit right now.
Well, Shakira is an exception to the rule because if you think back on all the artists that were big in that period of time, like around 99, when all of the mainstream media was doing stories about the Latin explosion, it seemed like this was something that had come to stay in the United States. That, in other words, these artists like Ricky Martin and Marc Anthony had made an impact, had gotten to the top of the pop charts, and that we continue to see them there, you know, for the foreseeable future. But within a couple of years, that had waned, as a lot of, you know, pop music trends tend to do. And Shakira held on to some degree, but, you know, strangely enough, the song that you played there, which I think was Hips Don't Lie, is that the one?
Well, Hips Don't Lie is the big hit. We were playing La Tortura.
Oh, La Tortura, right, okay. Well, it turns out that her recent English album, which was the follow-up to her big smash hit, had not done so well for when it was first released. And it was Hips Don't Lie, the current hit, that actually picked up the album, and the label went back and added that song to the English album, which is one of the reasons it started selling. But originally, it wasn't doing as well as expected, so even Shakira, as hot as she is, had cooled off a little bit.
Yeah. Now there was also the reggaeton phenomenon a year or so ago. Has that waned as well? And if so, what is driving the continued growth of this music, of Latin music in general?
Well, that's an interesting case because it was the trend in Latin music that got the most attention since the Latin explosion, since the Ricky Martin era. And people thought that it was going to be another sort of crossover wave because Daddy Yankee had such a powerful hit with that song, Gasolina. but it really sort of got stuck at a certain point. It took over the entire market. That is, it came from Puerto Rico and won over the Latino Mexican American market in California and in the West, and it seemed to be sort of unstoppable, but it in some ways not dead-ended, but it sort of stalled last year. And it remains to be seen what's going to happen with it, because there's a couple of big albums coming out. Don Omar is one of the main artists. He's got a new album out where they're changing the music a little bit. One of the problems was it was too monotonous, and people had gotten tired of it. But some of these big artists are on the verge of changing the sound to some extent and linking up with some of the hip-hop, American hip-hop artists that could take it forward. But that's, you know, it's a 50-50 thing to see if it's going to continue or not.
All right, so maybe reggaeton is running out of gas, maybe not.
Maybe so.
Let's bring Dan Storper from Putumayo World Music into the conversation in a moment. Here is a little bit of Daddy Yankee's big breakout hit, Gasolina. Daddy Yankee's Gasolina, big reggaeton hit for him, and we are speaking about the fact that Latin music sales have been moving up at a time when the music market in general has been going down. We're speaking with Agustin Gursa, who writes about Latin music and entertainment for the LA Times, and Dan Storper, who's the founder and president of Putumayo World Music. Dan, Putumayo doesn't have any reggaeton that I'm aware of, but still, 6 of your top 10 best-selling records are Latin music. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it started for us because we released an album called Cuba, really with some great more traditional son artists from Cuba, including a couple of the well-known ones from the Buena Vista Social Club, right at about the same time as that kind of very successful album hit much of the world. And I think that was kind of, there's been a story of a growing Latin population in the United States and a growing, I guess they're gaining a little bit more affluence. They're buying more albums, and there are superstars that are emerging both within the Latin community and in Latin America, as well as people living here in the United States, especially in Miami. And you know, we've seen that boom. There was very little crossover, except occasionally when Gloria Estefan would really have an album that or a song that would hit the pop charts. And oftentimes, it's hard to say that they were really strictly Latin songs. They were Latin rhythms that
right.
really, you know, turned into a great took a great pop melody and Latinized it. And I think what we've seen with Putumayo is that while, you know, we sell to a lot of Latin customers both here and in Latin America, and we've seen a great growth of interest in Latin music from different parts of Latin America, but underlying what we choose for the Putumayo collections is songs that have melody and rhythms that are accessible and acceptable, I guess you could say, to an Anglo audience, even though Latins do buy them. And I think that growth from the Buena Vista time through recent years has created a lot of new fans for the music in the Anglo market, as well as obviously a growing interest in the Latin market. And we've seen albums that we've done, like our recent Latin Lounge or Afro Latin Party, you know, traditional sounds, just really be successful.
So you think it's kind of riding the wave of the interest in world music in general that's allowing a sort of more a wider general music audience to latch on to some of these Latin compilations you've done?
I think that's part of it. I mean, one of the things that people have always said about our CDs is they're very eclectic, even though underlying it they have a strong melodic base. And a lot of our Latin songs are very strongly influenced by African music. We've had a number of artists that we've discovered, you know, have never been on collections that people don't know about that are writing or performing in Europe or different parts of the world other than just traditional Latin America. And then, you know, mainstream radio, both in Latin America and the United States, tends to kind of disallow or make less accessible a lot of the sounds by artists that are not part of what might be a more homogenized pop or mainstream sound. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking for in success of people like Norah Jones and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and other sounds. You know, an older audience over the age of 30 is looking for melodic, you know, just hooky, beautiful music.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these songs that we put on our Putumayo collections have a lot of those elements, and that's what people somewhat respond to.
Well, your label released another collection called Baila, a Latin dance party. And this has Latin artists and musicians, but also musicians from other parts of the world who've embraced Latin music, like this group called the Africando All-Stars. That's the band Africando All-Stars in a song called Son Fo from the album Baila, a Latin dance party, new on the Putumayo World Music label. Dan Storper is the founder and president. We're speaking with him and with Agustin Gorsa, who writes about Latin music and entertainment for the LA Times. And before we get back to Agustin, Dan, where is this band from?
Well, it's actually a hybrid band consisting of a number of New York, Puerto Rican, Cuban, and other Latin musicians, but a big group of African, kind of the lead singers vary, but kind of legendary, in some cases, lead singers who have actually sung a blend of African soukous, which is related to Latin music, and Latin music. I remember going to Dakar about 5 years ago to a little club, African club, and they were playing just most charming and beautiful African salsa, and I think it's become, you know, Latin music became very popular in much of Africa.
Cuban music especially.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Agustin, in L.A., you referred before to Daddy Yankee and reggaeton. You mentioned mm-hmm. how this Puerto Rican music sort of caught on with the Mexican community as well. Is there a lot of fragmentation within the Latin music world?
To some degree, there is. I mean, there always has been. The Mexican market here in Los Angeles is what you might consider almost country music. There's banda, which is sort of a tuba and horn-driven Mexican country music, and norteño music, which has the accordion, that sort of thing. That sort of Mexican down-home music, you'd say, doesn't really sell well in Miami or in Caribbean markets. But, you know, having said that, there is a lot of crossover. I know when I was in my younger days in college, one of the things that a lot of the Mexican-American students, for example, at UC Berkeley, where I attended, were caught up in the salsa wave of the 1970s. That all came from New York.
Right.
It's something that also inspired Carlos Santana, who's a Mexican-American also from San Francisco, to create Latin rock at the time. So those kinds of things are, you know, there's a nexus at which all these communities all meet.
Well, Agustin, have you seen these figures that Mexican regional music is almost half? It's 48% of the total of Latin music that's sold in this country. Have you seen
that? Yeah, no, I think that's true. Those figures have been pretty steady for a long time. Although, strangely enough, it's the type of music that gets less attention from the mainstream media because I think it's considered hokey to some degree. It doesn't have the charm and or the glamour of some of the pop music. It doesn't have the rhythmic appeal of salsa and Afro-Cuban, Afro-Caribbean music that Putumayo specializes in.
But it speaks to people of home and community and tradition.
Oh, it's a very very, very strong in the immigrant community, less so among the children of those immigrants who are, you know, go more towards the Anglo market or to other pop things because, you know, they sort of let go of the old their parents' taste, for example.
Right. Dan, when it comes to sort of marketing Latino music, does it help that there are now six categories in the Grammys for Latin music and then a whole another set of categories in the Latin Grammys themselves?
Well, I think in some respects it depends on which part of marketing you're talking about. Clearly, there are formats on radio, and some tend to specialize in different types of things. And the more formats, the more radio that's available, the more people hear it. At the same time, in retail, there's been a growth, and while some international sections are getting smaller, some Latin sections are getting larger, and so you're finding actually breakdowns and. Some could say it actually makes it more complicated to find stuff, and they're, I think, still trying to figure it out. But the fact that they're, the Grammys are honoring different artists from, or creating different categories, the fact that it's becoming more impactful in the media, the fact that, I think people are hearing it, not just on radio and other ways that kind of seep into the mainstream, but I think television commercials and radio commercials, there's all kinds of things that are kind of bringing more attention to Latin music, film soundtracks, et cetera.
Right. Although you're very unlikely to hear banda music in commercials and soundtracks and things like that. Agustin, the immigration debate is something mm-hmm. that we alluded to at the very beginning of the program briefly. Does any of that enter into what's going on with Latin music in this country with its continuing success?
Well, to some degree, I mean, there's a lot of the marches that were held here in Los Angeles, where you had 500,000 people downtown, were promoted by radio stations. And those radio stations, of course, it's not primarily talk radio in Spanish. It's primarily music
mm-hmm.
And some talk, But those DJs were the ones that got the people out. So the connection there is that the people are listening to the radio because they want the music, and at the same time, that's their source of information,
so
as
you,
well as the television.
Right. Now, you've written about a particular Guatemalan singer named Ricardo Arjona.
Oh, yes, a recent video that he had.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it was very topical. He's a sort of a singer-songwriter, socially conscious guy from Guatemala. Has a fairly established career. The unusual thing was that he hooked up with a Tex-Mex or Mexican-American band named Intocable, which is a terrific band from Texas. And they wrote a song called Mojado, which means wetback, addressing these problems of the immigrants. And they recorded it, the video, right on the border in scenes where you can actually see the line. They're standing at the beach between Mexico and the United States, right there where Tijuana meets San Diego. Very interesting video.
Hmm. Here's a little bit of the song Mojado, which means wetback, from Ricardo Arjona.
El mojado tiene ganas de secarse. El mojado está mojado por las lágrimas que bota la nostalgia. El mojado, el indocumentado, carga el bulto que legal no cargaría mi obligado. El suplicio de un papel lo ha convertido en un fugitivo. Y no esté aquí porque su nombre no aparece. Los archivos, ni es de allá porque se fue. Si la luna suave se desliza por cualquier cornisa sin permiso alguno, porque...
The song is called Mojado, Ricardo Arjona from Guatemala, and once again... Agustin Gurza in the LA of the LA Times. This is a collaboration you were telling us with a kind of a Tex-Mex
yeah.
band as well.
Yeah, the band is called Intocable. They're sort of a pop Tex-Mex band, if you can imagine that. In that case, they're playing a very traditional corrido sound with the accordion. And what's interesting about that song is the lyric, which almost makes the immigrant or the illegal immigrant a hero. Well, it does make him a hero in the song, but almost what it invokes almost a religious or spiritual justification for crossing the border.
Hmm.
And in that way, it clearly says, the song says, that God looks down upon the right of these immigrants to cross and to cross the border, look for work.
Right.
It's almost like a natural thing. This is something that I think is completely at odds with the public opinion in the United States about illegal crossings. But the music has always been something where immigrants find defenders among artists like Los Tigres del Norte that give very romantic and spiritual rationales for crossing the border illegally in search for work.
Mm-hmm.
So the music does, really mark a divide, I think, to some degree.
All right. Augustine Gorza writes for the L.A. Times about Latin music and entertainment. Dan Storper is founder and president of Putumayo World Music. Dan, the immigration debate, has it had any impact on the compilation, the marketing, the various Latin projects that you have done and continue to do?
Well, it's not the debate that's been an issue or really affecting things dramatically sales-wise or promotion or marketing-wise. It's really the tightening of the borders has prevented a lot of artists, not just Latin artists, but others from being able to come in and tour the United States. And for world and Latin music, touring is really critical. And it being much harder, much more costly, and much more difficult means that bookers aren't booking as much. So from that perspective, it's definitely made an impact, but it's not directly related to the immigration debate.
Well, so it's harder to get some of the artists in for live music, but the sales of the music are up. Latin music sales up 14% last year at a time when the general music market was down almost 4%. We've been exploring the whys and the wherefores with Augustine Gorza from the LA Times and Dan Storper of Putumayo World Music. Gentlemen, thank you both for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, John.
Thanks a lot.
Up next, a live performance by the young New York indie rock band called Elizabeth and the Catapult. And then later, this week's Time Magazine cover story on the Dixie Chicks has a lot of country music fans talking. We'll hear from the article's author. This is Soundcheck.
Me siento a ver en las estrellas tus ojos ver cuando tus fotos me siento a ver.
You're listening to a repeat broadcast of Soundcheck.